Congregation, the scripture reading this morning is from the second book of Kings, chapter 23. 2 Kings 23, verses 4 through 20. And the king, that's King Josiah, commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Moloch. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down, and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abominations of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place, which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent, and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. And then he said, "What title is that I see?" And the men of the city told them, it is the sepulchre of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. So far the scripture reading. The text for the sermon you find in 2 Chronicles 34. In 2 Chronicles 34, there you find the words of our text. And that is formed by the verses 4 through 7. The words of our text. And they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence. And the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces. And made dust of them. And strawed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burned the bones of the priests upon their altars. And cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh. And Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. So far, the reading of the words of our text. Beloved congregation, last week we considered how King Josiah sought the Lord when he was 16 years of age. That is to say, he began to seek the Lord. Because when we start to seek the Lord, we will never be finished in seeking whom the Lord is, to consider the fullness that dwells in the Lord. But by doing this, he had become a man of conviction. And that was because the word of God had filled his heart. Josiah had learned to hide God's word in his heart. And so he saw the need of a reformation. And he also realized that he, as a king, had the authority to initiate such a reformation. And this is what we find in the words of our text. From 2 Chronicles 34, 4 through 7, we see here Josiah's reformation. In the first place, this was needed. In the second place, it was carried out. In the third place, this was a fulfillment. So King Josiah had been gained for the Lord in his youth already. He was convinced and convicted. He sought the Lord, and those who seek shall find. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And so, young people, we considered last week the necessity of seeking the Lord. So the question is, do you truly seek the Lord? By carefully reading his word and asking, what does that word mean to me? What is the Lord telling me here? And do you try to pour out your heart unto the Lord, asking the Lord to lead you and help you in prayer? Are you so seeking the Lord? Well, if you are, continue on doing this. For you will find him. And finding the Lord is much more glorious than if you would dig up a pot of gold from your backyard. Because gold will perish eventually. But to know the Lord will remain with you forever. Well, Josiah had sought the Lord, and his life was regulated by the principles of God's Word. And that came to fruition in his life. And that's essential, because God's Word is living. It is powerful. It's like dynamite. It explodes. Truly, it's in the Bible. In Romans 1, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it was the power of God to salvation. But it says there, dunamis, that's dynamite. That's how powerful God's word is. And that changed Josiah, and it has changed countless people. And so by studying God's Word, the principles of God's Word became engraved in his heart. And that's something we find repeatedly through Scripture. I believe there are here those who will testify of it, of the power of God's Word in their lives. And you see it throughout Scripture. If you look at the days of the Reformation, how did the Reformation come to pass? Why did Zwingli or Luther or others, how did they come to embrace the doctrines of grace? It was through the work of God's Spirit in the conversion of Luther. We know how that went and others. But before that, what happened was there was a very learned man in those days, Erasmus. And he compiled for the first time really an original Greek New Testament. And he did that from ancient documents that were available in various libraries. And he studied Greek and he wondered what would the Greek New Testament have been. So he put it all together. Then he published it. And the people started to read, those who could read Greek, more among the learned ones, and those who were studying at universities, they would read the Greek New Testament. And they realized what we find here is something else than what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching us. And so that led to the Reformation. And also in England, the Bible translations of Wycliffe around 1400. And after that, Tyndale, around 1500, a bit later, those translations became known among the people, had an enormous impact, because God's Word has an impact. When people read the Word of God, it will change their hearts. And that's why, young people, in catechism, I'm telling you all the time to read God's Word for yourself. That's the key. In the 18th century, you had certain men in England who gathered together to study the Word of God, the university, I believe at Oxford, George Whitfield, John and Charles Wesley and others, and they were studying God's Word together. It had a lifelong impact upon them. And it led George Whitfield especially to become a great revival preacher here in North America. The effects of his preaching are still found today in church life in the United States. And the influence of John and Charles Wesley are still to be traced today in Great Britain. And it was because they were infected by the Word of God, affected, and then they had to proclaim it. It led to a mighty work of revival. It also had an impact upon society. The fact that England was the first nation to prohibit slave trafficking was a direct result of the preaching of the awakening through the Wesley brothers and Whitfield. And when we consider our days, and we may consider days in which there was a stronger spiritual life, although that's always a bit difficult to ascertain, but when we say we need a revival, that's true. We need an awakening. We need a revival. We have been greatly blessed. Many of us are very prosperous people. I come to your homes. I see prosperity. It's a blessing. We must be grateful for that. But it's also a danger. Because if we are so affluent and there's much prosperity, that can cause us to drift away from the Lord. It doesn't have to be like that. But the danger is there. And therefore we need to watch at the Word of God and to hide God's Word in our heart, that prosperity we have would not become a snare to us. And we would not start to have a watered-down religion or a sloppy lifestyle. We need to have a close and intimate personal communion with the Lord. We need to be students of the Most High. We need to study His Word. And that we call upon the name of the Lord and learn to thirst for Him. And then we may also expect prosperous spiritual life, even a revival. But even if the Lord pours out His Spirit, and even if there is then through certain circumstances, through certain people in influential places, that there is a reformation, that's good. But it's not enough. No, it's not enough. What is needed is that God's Spirit indwells people's lives. Our hearts need to be changed. So we need the Lord to pour out His Spirit upon us and our children. We read here in our text the beginning of a reformation. By this good King Josiah. And when he was killed in action at the age of 39, what happened after that was that the kings that came after him, Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin and Zedekiah, they all went back to the idol worship. Because God's Spirit did not live in their hearts. You know, we can be under the best preaching, and that we are impressed by their preaching, by the eloquence or by the certain insights portrayed to us. But unless God's Spirit dwells in us, it will not benefit us. And we may be under a meager preaching, but if God's Spirit lives in you, spiritual life will flourish. And so what do we need? The outpouring of God's Spirit. That didn't happen among the people of Israel. They loved their King Josiah. But they did not really follow his footsteps in their heart. Reformation was direly needed. After all the terrible years of Manasseh and Ammon. But the Reformation came actually too late. Josiah's reformation was a good work. It was a fruit of his being convinced of the Word of God, but ultimately it would prove not to save the nation of Judah. It came too late. And so we can have many privileges, many blessings, preaching of God's Word, but what we need is God's Spirit in our heart. Because the Holy Spirit teaches us to live according to the will of God. He pours out love in hearts that we would forsake the idols of our age. And through His Spirit there will be mutual love and care and consideration for one another. There will be an esteeming of God's day, of God's Word, of God's people. And so Reformation is good. But it's not sufficient. Inner renewal is needed. And that's what the Lord Jesus is willing to do. That He becomes at the center of our life. He becomes to be everything for us. That's what's needed. The revelation of Christ Jesus to your heart. Then you see that He is altogether lovely. And then your life is renewed. Well, we continue on because we see that Reformation was not only needed, but it was also carried out. Josiah was impressed by God's word. And that's why he was resolved to work out and to implement a reformation. And that's what happens when God's word enters your heart. Then you stand up against iniquity. And you're not afraid to stand alone. You're not afraid what people will talk to say about you. As long as you know for yourself, I'm standing on the word of God. Conviction is not having some quick, fleeting impressions, but it's a deeply felt conviction worked by God's Holy Spirit. And that's how Josiah was. Grace makes a person courageous. And that's how Josiah was. He stood up against the iniquity of his days. And he did not only have courage, but also perseverance. He didn't just start the work of reformation, but he pursued it. And that's characteristic for a Christian. When the Lord starts to work in your heart, you will not only start to change matters in your life, but you will persevere in this new walk with the Lord. It can go up and down, but you will always be focused and set upon the Lord. That will be the bent of your life, to consider the will of the Lord in your life. And there are many afflictions, there are many struggles, and the evil one will come to try to undo that work of the Lord in your heart. He will assault you. He will shake you to and fro. And it will seem as if the Lord is not answering your prayers. But yet true faith will persevere. It will be, this new walk with the Lord will be carried out. It will be implemented. Like Ruth. What did she again say to Naomi? Thy people are my people. Thy God is my God. Where you will lodge, I will lodge. Where you will die, I will die. Ruth was resolved. She persevered. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And that's how Josiah was. And how did this reformation then take place? We read in verse 3 that in the 12th year of his reign, so he was 20. He started when he was 8. When he was 16, he began to sought the Lord. When he was 20, he started this reformation. And we find this reformation here comprised in the verses 3 through 7. And you find it more elaborately in 2 Kings, what we just read. And there in verse 4, you see how he takes the initiative. He is there when they are breaking the idols. They do it in his presence. He is supervising the whole thing. He commands exactly what people need to do. In verse 4, He commanded the priests and the people to remove the idols. And they break down the altars of Baalim in His presence. Baalim is a plural of Baal. Baal means Lord. It was a god of the Canaanites. At Baalim, there were various Baals. And all those altars had to go. And they did it. They had to do it in His presence. He was standing there. And the images that were on high above them, He cut down. And the groves, those were sacred trees, like our ancestors used to have years ago. The German tribes, they had their holy oaks. It's something like a grove, a holy tree. And so, they had those holy trees there, pure idolatry. And He cut them down. And the carved images and the molten images, He broke them to pieces. And He made dust of them and strawed them. He sprinkled them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed to them. And Josiah supervised the whole thing. Reformation had to take place and it had to be carried out. And all the vessels that were made for idol worship in the temple had to be brought outside of Jerusalem. They would be burned. That happened at the brook Kidron. Why did they do that at the brook Kidron? Well, that was in those days the municipal garbage dump. And why at a brook? Well, you throw all your refuse in that brook and the water washes it eventually all away. And that's what He did. And it's noteworthy that those ashes would be brought to Bethel. That was also called Beth Aven. And that means house of evil. Bethel, house of God. Beth Aven, house of evil. That's where the golden calf had been worshipped. And the golden calf that was no longer there at Bethel because the king of Syria in the meantime had come and he removed that golden calf and brought it back to Assyria. And he could use that gold. But the high place upon which the golden calf had stood was still there. We read that taking away of the golden calf. You read that in Hosea 10. But it was exactly there in Bethel that the apostasy had started. And Josiah wanted to desecrate that place. And how would he desecrate that place? By burning it and ruining it. And the altars, what he would do, he would, in those days, their views of religion, pagan religions, if you would burn human bones upon an altar, then that altar could no longer be used for sacrifice. That's why Josiah burned human bones on all those altars, to make sure they could never anymore be used for their idolatrous purposes. And so he removed also the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets. And so Josiah had these heathen priests. They would have been Israelites or people from Judah, but they conducted heathen activities. They had to be killed. They were seducing people to forsake God. They were ruining the souls of people. They had to be rooted out. And the houses of the Sodomites. It's nearly unbelievable what you read. The wickedness that prevailed there. So many idols within Jerusalem. All taken out. And the Sodomites. Homosexual prostitution. That's what it was. In their warped, polluted minds, wanting to live out sexual and sensual desires, they had coupled that to their heathen religion, temple prostitution. And the women wove curtains for that. It was an abomination. And Josiah rooted it all out. And the high places, what were they? They were places where people would worship the Lord. And they would sacrifice there to the Lord. And they would have priests, regular priests from the house of Aaron, who would be there, those high places, to sacrifice to the Lord. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? No, it's not a wonderful thing, because the Lord had said that they only could worship and bring sacrifices in Jerusalem, at the temple, and that prefigured the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is now in heaven at the right hand of God as our only high priest, after He had brought once and for all the sacrifice for sin. And so the Lord wanted to have His people focused upon the temple in Jerusalem. Of course, they could pray throughout the land, in their homes, wherever, but sacrifices had only to be brought in Jerusalem. But the people said, no, no, we can worship and sacrifice on the high places. But they were violating what the Lord had said. Yes, but at least we're worshiping the Lord and we mean so well. And now be glad at least that our children are coming to the high places. But that's not what the Lord had said. And it's not what children think or what parents think, but it's what the Lord says. And so Josiah wants to make an end of those high places. Other kings had more or less condoned the high places. So it's not idolatrous worship there, but still it was forbidden. Josiah was so convinced, and he dismissed all those priests. He did not kill them. He brought them back to Jerusalem. They could be sustained by the temple, eating unleavened bread, but they were not allowed anymore to perform the sacrifices in the temple itself. And if we look at our day and age, there's so much sin abounding. We don't really know what's all happening. Many of us live quite sheltered lives, and that's a blessing. It's a good thing. It's not useful to be aware of all the filth and all the abominations that are happening. It's good to be sheltered and protected from that. It's good not even to know what people all imagine, what they can do in their lewdness. But our days are wicked days. And then in the realm of religion, there are many people who believe in God, who believe in the Bible, but they don't come to church. I don't need church to worship the Lord. I can do it at home. But that's against the word of the Lord. The Lord wants His people to be gathered in churches where they are under the regular preaching of His word. We're not allowed to think we can stay at home and that's okay. It's not okay. Because people refuse to be under the authority of God and of His office bearers. They go against the will of God. They are not living members of His church. And in the early church they said, if you don't have the church as your mother, you cannot have God as your father. So it's not about self-willed worship, what we think, but what does the Lord say? And in 2 Kings 23, we read about the high places which were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the most wise man, and yet this Solomon, committed terrible sins. He had built altars for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abominations of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abominations of the children of Ammon, built by Solomon. And the king Josiah defiled it all. And he buried, and he, He dug up human bones and burned them upon those altars. Josiah did a thorough work. We read in 2 Kings 23, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom. That's where the terrible practices took place of burning their children to Moloch. Those horrendous events that I would hesitate even to describe from the pulpit. The cruelties that happened there. Because the service of Satan is a cruel service. And we think today of abortion. The cruelties are what happens when an abortion actually takes place. There are heathen temples in Canada. Canada used to be dominated by the Presbyterian churches, at least Ontario. But we have heathen temples now. God's word is being ignored. Christian principles are fading. And then calamities will fall upon a nation. Because it's through God's word that social justice and truth and equity are established. Many people have mixed up lives because they depart from the Word of God. But Josiah persevered. In 2 Kings 23, we read he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. Images of horses and chariots used for their worship of the sun. There were even altars on top of the houses of Jerusalem. King Ahaz had built such an altar upon the roof of his own palace. And Josiah did away with it. He was far more radical in his reformation as those who were before him. And so, congregation, how about our lives? Do you need a reformation? Are your priorities mixed up? Does the Lord not have the rightful place in your life? What are you spending your money and your time on? You know, the Lord will one day do away with all iniquity. He will punish iniquity. We live in a day and age when evil is called good and good is called evil. But when the Lord Jesus returns, it will be certainly clear to everyone what sin is, and that rebellion is nothing less than sin. And God will honor His righteous laws. And then there will be no one anymore who dares to say that evil is good and good is evil. Because the Lord will vindicate Himself and His holy word before all nations. So this reformation was needed, was carried out, but we also see the fulfillment. The fulfillment, because what happened here, it's very beautiful to see. It's a fulfillment of a prophecy spoken from that prophet, we don't even know his name, who came from Judah to Bethel. When King Jeroboam, the first king of the 10 tribes, had initiated the worship of the golden calf. And then this prophet came and declared God's judgment upon this man-made sanctuary. And he cursed it. And cried out, in 1 Kings 13, you read that, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." He said that at the moment when King Jeroboam was going to inaugurate this altar. And then the Lord immediately gave a sign that this prophecy would take place because the altar broke in pieces. And Jeroboam was angry and he pointed to that prophet, "Arrest him," but then he couldn't move his arm anymore. And then the prophet had to pray that he could move his arm back again. And then the prophet could return. These are impressive events. The people had remembered these events. And when this prophet eventually was buried there in close to Bethel, the people had made some kind of a sepulcher, some kind of an engraving to record what had happened, to remember what the man had prophesied. Maybe people doubted this prophecy because for years, for centuries, nothing happened. But God's counsel shall stand. All that He has promised will be fulfilled. Everything the Lord has spoken will come. It will come to pass. The Lord Jesus will return, and every eye shall see Him. Every knee shall bow before Him. You and I will see Him. And we will have to give an account of our lives before Him. He will descend from heaven with a shout, the cry of victory. And He will initiate a new heaven, a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. And Josiah, did he know about this prophecy? Maybe he did. It's possible. But whatever the case, Josiah wants this sanctuary to be desecrated. His idea is not to fulfill a certain prophecy. No, his idea is to do away with that golden calf worship once and for all. And close to that sanctuary there are graves. And he points to those graves. People have to dig up those bones and burn them upon that altar. And then he sees also that sepulchre. He doesn't know what that sepulchre is. And he asks, what does that mean? And then the men who lived there explained to him what it was all about. And that this is the grave of the prophet who prophesied that you would do all these things. And so he said, leave that grave alone. Bethel was at the border of Judah and Israel. And Josiah is not satisfied with only undoing the golden calf worship, but he is motivated by the Lord to persevere further into the land of the 10 tribes. So he moves to the north. Many of the 10 tribes, those people have been taken away by the kings of Assyria. But some of them were still there. And he destroyed the houses of the high places in Samaria, where the kings of Israel had provoked the Lord to anger. He destroyed altars and idols with mattocks. Boys and girls, a mattock, that's a kind of a pickaxe. And he just slammed it and broke it to pieces. And so Josiah wanted to reform the nation of Israel. He didn't stop halfway. And even after this, he's going to reinstate the true worship of the Lord in Jerusalem. It's actually for Josiah, it was a spiritual battle. And the Lord tells us that His people are all involved in a spiritual battle to know what the weak places are in our lives, where the sins are located in our lives, and to continue to fight and to struggle against sin and against indwelling sin. It's a spiritual battle that a child of God is called to be involved in. And when can they lay down the battle? When can they lay down their armor? Well, that will not happen here in this life. But it will happen when they are translated from this life to the future life. But now we are called to fight the good fight of faith. And before you can fight the good fight of faith, you need to know Him who initiates this fight of faith. You know the Lord Jesus. And how do you know the Lord Jesus? By His Word and through His Spirit. How are things in your life? At which stage are you? The more you know the Lord, the less you think of yourself. It's not that the more you know the Lord, the more you think, I have quite done away with quite a few idols. I'm improving. I'm getting better. That's not how it works. Because when the Lord works with the Spirit in your heart, you become, for your own estimation, a greater sinner. But yet you do less sin. Because the Lord is sanctifying, cleansing, renewing. And in this battle, you need to persevere. It's a daily battle. Josiah, he didn't give up. And we need the same conviction. And the Lord is willing to do far above what we think or imagine. Amen. Shall we close with prayer and thanksgiving? O gracious Lord, we thank Thee for Thy work in the life of Josiah. And we thank Thee for Thy work in the lives of Thy people and children. Because why are they so convicted? And why do they persevere? And why can they not give up? And why do they pursue that good fight of faith? It is because of Thee. Because Thou art the Alpha and the Omega in their lives. Thou art the inexhaustible fountain of all strength. And so we worship and thank Thee for Thy work in the lives of Thy people. And we thank Thee for the rich gospel invitations that come to us. And we pray Thee, Lord, may we be people who live for Thee and who learn to fight this spiritual battle. And that can only be in the shadow of Thy wings. Lord Jesus, wilt Thou draw us unto Thee that we may know Thee and find Thee and love Thee passionately and learn to live for Thee. And not to take our cues from this world, but from Thee and from Thy Word. Then we will be indeed strangers in this world. And we will be a pilgrim in the earth. We will not be understood by others, but that doesn't matter. As long as we may live according to Thy will. O Lord, teach us these matters. Go with us this day further. Bring us again together this afternoon. And hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.